Good evening. When she said old songs, I don't think reason we haven't sang a lot of those for a long time is because they haven't been in our hymnal. Isn't that right? Some of them I just know, not since the 75 hymnal. Of course, we strayed away from the Baptist hymnal for a while and had the Celebrate Life hymnal, and so, that may be why we don't haven't sang so many of them songs. But it seemed like it had been a long time since I'd heard that last song we did. Tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. I'm not very good at standing behind this pulpit. I hope this thing's working okay. And because I like to move around. I like to be close to people, basically. I think we ought to be close. I think we ought to really share together and feel close. The body of Christ needs to have that sense of togetherness and the sense, that's why it's so hard when we wasn't together. It's just hard to feel that, and we tried our best, through the internet and listening to sermons online and all of that stuff, and texting back and forth and emailing and Facebooking each other and tried to stay connected that way, but there's just nothing that connects us like the Word of God being heard and spoken of and rejoiced in and sung about, and it's just there's something special about it, and I think this has helped us to really not take it for granted. It's helped us to really maybe be more thankful for the opportunity to gather together, and maybe even to relate to some countries that don't have that privilege, and to be praying for them that they could be able to gather in God's house and able to serve in this capacity. As I was thinking tonight about this sermon, like I said this morning in Sunday school, I think it was actually about the third week of the coronavirus that God laid this portion of Scripture on my heart. I was thinking, well, with some of this extra time and not having to go to ball games and not having to go to, various things, and that I should, really dive in and read God's Word. And so I decided I was going to read the book of Romans, and I never got past the first chapter. And it's not because I quit reading. It's because I read this chapter maybe 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I don't know, it just has blessed me so much. And I have a great fear here tonight that you won't get to experience some of the blessings that I had just from reading this. But as I was preparing for tonight, I was thinking about when I was 1980, I think it was, I had the opportunity through a mission trip to go to Disney World. Does anybody know where Disney World is? Actually, I think it was Disneyland. In 1978, I went to Disney World. I went to Disneyland. And the difference is that one's on one coast and the other one's on the other coast. And I was in California and with a group of people. And as we went through, they had this wax museum. And the only thing I really remember about that is getting to see how tall Abraham Lincoln was and getting to hear the Gettysburg Address. And it was just a cool experience. I mean, even though you knew, she's hard to compete with, isn't she? Even though you knew that he wasn't real, it just felt real. And as I was thinking about that, the reason I even started thinking about that is because in the first line, and this scripture appears in the New King James, but I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and Hannah said that wasn't on our computer, so you'll have to bear with me in the difference in the translations. But this first sentence out of the book of Romans says, this letter is from Paul. And I was just thinking how cool it would be if we had a time machine and to really go back and to spend time with the Apostle Paul. And I don't know what that would be like for you. I know for me, it just to listen to or just watch as he penned the book of Romans or one of the other books, and to experience a little bit the cultural things that he was going through and the struggles that they went through in the early church, and I mean, just to really grasp, why Paul sat down and penned this letter, and what was so heavy upon his heart, and what was so inspiring to him that he wanted to write this letter to the Romans. He wanted deeply to go and see them. He talks about that in this letter. He wanted to be with them. Kind of reminds us when we was apart. And, you know, we wanted to be together, but we couldn't be together. And Paul was, you know, kind of going through that same thing there with the Romans. But it just says here, simply, it just says, this letter is from Paul. And I just was so blessed by thinking about somebody who had seen the Lord on that Damascus road and had such an unbelievable experience there after he had persecuted the church and killed the Christians and all of those things. I mean, can you imagine what Paul felt when he thought about the ones that he'd martyred after he'd come to Christ? He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was working for the church. He thought he was working for the glory of God. And all of a sudden he found out that he was on the wrong path. And God put him on the right path. And just the emotions that he must have went through and the things that he felt. And just, you know, just to experience that. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we had that time machine? We could just go back. I wouldn't want to live back there. I love living here. I love being in this time. But just to see it. And the Word of God kind of does that for us. It's kind of like a time machine that we get to kind of go in, we get to feel what they felt, and we get to experience what they experienced, and we just kind of get to see through their eyes for a little bit. And it's just, I don't know, it blessed my heart when I heard this is a letter from Paul. This is Paul who wrote this. This is the Apostle Paul, the one who claimed that he had an experience with Jesus. He saw the Lord in heaven standing at the right hand of God. And he had a conversation with God there. And it was a conversation that when he got up off the ground from that conversation, he was never the same. Man, I tell you, that really speaks to me. He said, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Does anybody here think that anybody that's ever been a slave has bragged about it? No. Most people that are slaves, they want to get away from that slavery. They want to be free. And I can almost see Paul rejoicing in being a slave for Christ. He said, I'm a slave. He said, a slave of Christ and chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach His good news. Now, we all know what good is, but if I ask you what news was, I'd probably get several different answers. I know when we think about news, we think about turning on the TV or turning on the radio and listening to what's happening in the world. And we want news. If it's something we've heard before, it's not news, is it? It's not news. News, when you break the word down, it's the plural of the word new. And so news literally means something you haven't heard before, something new to you. And so when you think about this good news, I mean, just think about that good news. When we say good news in the Christian world, in the Christian church, we know we're talking about something very particular. It's not, I Googled good news, and of course, we live in a time when there's a lot of negative, bad news out there. And so, you know, people's trying to put a positive spin on the news and trying to give us something that gives us a little glimmer of hope, or trying to give us something that, you know, we would deem as good to hear. Some life story out there about somebody doing good or somebody receiving a good reward or something like that, you know, something positive. And this is how the world views good news, but for the Christian it's different, because the good news, when we hear that phrase, means the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means the message that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, that we might have life everlasting, that we can accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness of our sins, and we will be ushered into the throne room of God whenever we pass from this life. That's good news. And you know, the thing that about Paul that I would love to see and experience for myself is the fact that whenever he heard this good news, when he first witnessed this good news, he never got over it. I mean, it was life-changing for him, and he never got over it. And I'm so saddened by the fact that once I heard the good news and once I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I tend to stray back and to stray away from God. And I tend to get back into that place of the flesh and the place of sin and that place of being away from God. But Paul, he so wanted to be near to God, and he so wanted to learn of God, and he so wanted to grasp the knowledge, the understanding, that he never got over the excitement and the glory and the fact that he come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It was good news to Paul. And he says in here, he said to preach his good news. I don't know if I said that earlier, but he said he was chosen by God as an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. So in this scripture, we're going to have several times where that phrase good news comes up. And I just want us to really grasp what it means, this good news. I pray that it means the same thing to you that it means to me. I want to, I don't know, just as a member of the body of Emmanuel Baptist Church, I want to see something new happen here. I want to see the Spirit of God at work. I've told this before, and you've probably heard it before, but I'll never forget one time when Lawrence Nevels was preaching for us, and he come down after preaching at the revival we was having at Eagleville, and he ran to the back of the church with a great big smile on his face, and he said, "I'd rather preach than eat." And I just like, what joy was on his face. And I understand that. Man, when the Spirit of God is at work, there's nothing I'd rather do than preach or listen to the message of God. To sit with God's people and rejoice together over the things that we're hearing and the things that we're seeing and the things that we're experiencing through the Word of God. We was talking this morning in Sunday school about this, and somebody said it's an action. I think it was Chuck that said it was love is an action. And it's not just to hear this word and to have it fall on deaf ears, but it's to hear this word and get up from that road, Damascus Road experience, and go out from this place to change the world. I mean, to take that good news out there. He said this: the good news is about his son. The good news we have from God is about his son. In his earthly life, it says here that he was born into King David's family line. Wonder what David thought. Let's get in that time capsule again. But I wonder what David thought whenever he first heard that the Messiah was going to come from his lineage. Can you imagine? I mean, old King David, he was such a loved person and such a people person. He wanted to be close to people. Like I told you tonight, I like to be close to people, but he was a people person. And I imagine he was so humbled by the thought that God wanted to bring the Messiah through his lineage. But it said, and it was scripture, you know, the prophets prophesied about this. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but came from that family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead, when Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is this good news we're talking about. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the only one that fit the bill. He's the only one who fulfilled the prophecy. He's the only one who died for our sins, and he's the only one who rose from the dead. He's the only one. And there is no other. If you're looking for another Messiah, he's not coming. He's coming back, but he's not coming, okay? He's the one. Jesus is the one. If you're looking for something else to fulfill your life here tonight, I want to tell you that you're not going to find it in any other place, any other avenue, other than in the Word of God and in looking up the Scripture that talks about the Son of God. And about the lineage of David, and about the one who was raised from the dead, and the one who, he sits at the right hand of the Father, but Paul saw him standing because he was there standing on Paul's behalf, He was there standing, asking Paul, "Hey, what are you doing down there? Hey, wake up. Hey, get your life on the right track. Hey, I need you to go and work for me and not to work against me." He said, what did he say? He said, "Why are you kicking against the," what is that word? The pricks. "Why are you kicking? Why are you fighting this? Why are you struggling with me? I'm the one you're supposed to be serving. Why are you struggling with me?" And it says here that through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere. Aren't you glad they got to tell the Gentiles? Is there anybody of Jewish descent in here? Really? Awesome. Randy is of Jewish descent. That he would have heard. But the rest of us are Gentiles. We wouldn't have heard, right? But no, God said take it to the Gentiles. God said this good news that we have, it's not going to be for the Jews only. It's going to be for the Gentiles. And he said the privilege of authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And this next phrase is what really attracted me to this portion of Scripture. And it's something I hope you grasp it tonight. Because I know so many times, I was talking to Lisa today, you know, and having a preacher who preaches to you and having somebody who leads the music for you and all of these things, you know, it's easy to sit in the pew and become complacent. And it's easy to think that, well, that's the preacher's job to share this message, or you know, that's those people that we hire, or maybe, you know, I'm not really gifted that way to go out and to share this good news. I'm not really, it's just not something I can do. And, you know, we really become complacent and cold-hearted. I was so excited all day long. I mean, just very excited because I have this opportunity to stand and to proclaim the gospel. I have this opportunity to stand in God's house with God's people and to share this good news. I mean, to rejoice together in what God has said and to maybe get in that little time capsule in our minds and just go back there and experience it for ourselves. But this says in verse 6, it says, "And you are included." We live in a world that really tries to exclude. I mean, we got everything going on right now. We've got Republicans against Democrats and Democrats against Republicans. And we've got blacks against whites and whites against blacks. And I mean, there is just chaos everywhere you look. And everything about it, I said this morning, I know, but it bears repeating. Everything about what's going on in this world today is just putting a line in the sand, and it's splitting us apart. I mean, it really is. And as I look around and I listen to the news and I see the coronavirus and how that separates us and divides us, and some people say, well, there's nothing to it, and I'm going to go out and do whatever I want anyway. And other people are huddled in their homes, and they don't dare to get out. I mean, and it's just divisive, all of it is. And as I look around and I think about all of these things, I know that there's only one thing that's going to bring it all together. There's only one place of hope. There's only one place where we can all stand together. And I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat or black or white or whether you've had the coronavirus or not. I know we had heard about some people in our area that got coronavirus, and they said, whatever you do, don't get tested. They said, because if when people find out you've got it, they don't want to be around you no more. I mean, it's just scary times we live in and hopeless situation that we're in. It's just, like I said this morning, it just is drawing a line in the sand, and you're either on the left or the right, and there's no middle ground, there's no meeting place, there's no hope for any of it. But you just think about the one who is the good news. Isn't that good news? I mean, there's so much bad news out there. Isn't that good news? that Jesus Christ is the one who included me. He included you. You are included. I mean, you're brought together. You're brought near. You're brought to the foot of the cross. You're brought to Christ. If the Bible says if the Lord be lifted up, he will draw all people unto him. And old Satan, he's trying his best to separate us and take us away and do us in, to take the Spirit of God out of the living church, to take the Word of God out of the hands of the people and do everything that he can to destroy and seek to destroy. But God says in his Word, you are included. He wants you to come. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to come. Come just as you are. He says you're included among these Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. And I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. He says here in verse 8, he says, let me say first that I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. This pause is not because I can't think of what next to say, but I kind of like that to sink in a little bit. Are we really thankful for each other? I mean, just look around. Go ahead and look around each other. Just look around the room. Are you grateful for each other? Are you just really thankful for the people God has given us to serve with? I'm glad to see your heads shaking, yes. I'm glad you're not picking up stones. Let me read that again. So let me say first, I thank God, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him has been talked about all over the world. Man, just think about taking this gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, that's what we're commissioned to do. And I guess we need to really think about personally, how am I fulfilling that great commission? I know, you know, we give to Lottie Moon, and we give to Annie Armstrong, and we give to the Reuben L. South offering, all of those things. We give to missions. Sometimes some of us even go on mission trips ourselves, you know. We could pat ourselves on the back, I guess. We've done pretty good, haven't we? But, you know, I just really think about this. We was talking about neighbors this morning, and whether we're good neighbors or not, and whether I've taken the gospel to my neighbor. I'm not talking about, you know, like the Good Samaritan neighbor type of neighbor. I'm just talking about my neighbor, the one that lives next door to me. Are we doing everything we can to make sure that they understand that they're included, to make sure that they know that, hey, you are included. This gospel's for you. This message of hope and everlasting life is for you too. It's not just for me. It wasn't just for Paul. Paul didn't, I mean, he didn't write this letter to himself and say, oh, me and God, we're just going to have a good old time. No, he heard this good news. He wanted everybody to know. And we need to let everybody know. He said, God knows how often I pray for you. And I think that, you know, I was talking to Dad this morning a little bit about this, but, you know, this prayer, I mean, praying is really the key to what we as Christians need to be doing. Fervent in prayer, serious in prayer. The Bible says praying always. We need to be praying for the Spirit of God to be at work. I want to see God's Spirit use us. I'm talking about me individually, but you're included in that too. You're included, all of you. I want to see the Spirit of God working through you. I mean, when we pray and we ask God to get us out of the way so he can work, and then we pray, not my will but thine be done, God, not what I want, but God, help me to do what you want. Help me to be what you want me to be. Help me to go where you want me to go. Help me to talk to who you want me to talk to. Help me to die to self. Paul said, I die daily. And I know I struggle with this, but I just want to see this for the body of Christ, for the body of believers at Emmanuel Baptist Church, that we could get into the place where the Spirit of God begins to work in our hearts and lives. And we begin to see the move of God upon this place. And I want to see when somebody comes in here seeking, man, we welcome them with open arms. We invite them to sit in our seat. We can't hug right now, but we embrace them. We shake their hands. We ask them what their needs are. We be the people that God wanted us to be when he said, you are included. I pray that we could be the kind of church that says, you're included. You're already a part of what we're doing here, and we want you to come and take an active role. We want you to come to know Christ. We want you to hear the good news. We want you to begin to grow in your faith. We want you to be baptized and believe and all of those things. We want to do it all. We don't want to stop halfway, and we don't want to just, give you a pat on the back and send you on your merry way. But I pray, and I want you to pray with me, that we could be the living body of Christ, the one that is alive and ready and eager and willing and obedient and faithful and loyal and just looking. I would say that when Paul got up from that Damascus road, that he was looking around to see what he could do. No, he wasn't. He couldn't see. But 3 days later, the old shells fell off, and then he began to look around to see what he could do, didn't he? He began to look to see where the Spirit of God was at work so he could join him in what he was doing. One of the things I always pray is for the opportunity, God willing, to come to see you at last. We prayed that for a while, didn't we? That we'd get to come together again. We prayed that. It says, for I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. I know we had a preacher up here this morning talking about our spiritual gifts. And I know for a fact that your spiritual gift is not sitting in a pew. I don't think God called any of us to be pew sitters. He's gifted you to be able to do something so that somebody, did you hear what he said? Some lady come to church, somebody smiled at that lady died in that church. Just because somebody smiled at her, it don't take a lot to allow the Spirit of God to use you. I'm going to wrap it up here pretty quick, but it says here, for I long to visit you so I can bring you a spiritual gift that will help you to grow strong in the Lord. And when we get together, he says, when we get together, I want to encourage you. I pray that I could be an encourager. Barnabas was Paul's encourager, they said. His name meant son of encouragement. We want to be a Barnabas. Paul was wanting to encourage them. I mean, I'm just standing up here today, this evening, I'm just wanting to encourage you to do what God wants us to do. Wanting to encourage you to step out in faith. Want to encourage you to believe. Wanting to encourage you to go out and share the good news, to share the gospel. I hope I could be some encouragement to you. It's exciting. First Sunday we had back together, we had church out there for a while, and it was just so frustrating because we stand up there singing, but we couldn't see your faces. We couldn't see your expressions. There's something about that connection and that interaction that we need. We need to be together in that way. But I wanted to be able to encourage you and to see whether you're smiling or receiving or understanding or singing along or, you know, in involving yourself into what's going on. And he said here in closing, he said, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I just love the two-way street, the back and forth. It's fellowship is what it is. It's just that togetherness and that unity and that striving for the common purpose that God has given us to go and to win some, to go and to share the gospel, to go and share the good news, to rejoice in the fact that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead and that we can have life everlasting. And we need to be like Paul, and we need to get up from that being flat on our face on the Damascus Road, and we need to get up and run to see what we can do. And I pray that God would touch our hearts to encourage one another and to not just think, well, we're included, thank God, but there's people out there driving up and down the streets and going in and out of McDonald's, and there's Taco Bell supposed to open soon. They'll be going in and out of that place too. They'll be looking over here and see this church. And I just pray that we could make them somehow feel included in what God's doing. And I don't think it's going to happen if we just sit in the pew, but it's going to happen when we join our hearts together and pray, when we join our hearts together in the Word of God, and we leave this place not saying, well, that was a good sermon, buddy. That was good. Like to hear it. We go this, leave this place brokenhearted over the lostness of the world and over the division that's been placed there by the things of this world. And we know that the only place that they can come and stand together is in Jesus Christ. Are you convinced of that tonight? We're going to have our closing song. I'm going to ask Debbie to come. And as we sing this song, if there's anything that God's laid upon your heart to do, somebody to pray for yourself. You know, the altar's open. I'm the worst to go into the altar. I think, well, I can just pray right here. And I know sometimes God calls us to step out. We get worried, well, if I step out and go to the altar and pray, they're going to wonder what in the world I did now. But I just want us all to understand that we're included in what God is doing. Every one of us. We're included. Does that just give you a warm feeling inside to know that you're included? I mean, Paul, if you could get in that time capsule, go see Paul. He'd say, come on, I got somebody I got to share with. I want you to go with me. He'd say, hey, we're going to go knock on some doors, and I want you to be included here. I want you to be involved in what's going on. And he'd just want us to all get up out of the pew. He just want us all to go outside this church, and he just want us all to go out there and do what God has called us to do. And I'm not gifted to knock on doors, I want to tell you, but he has a place for me, and he has a place for you. And there's so many things. I mean, I just was thinking this morning, and my mind was just going wild with ways that we could reach out and touch people and help them to see. Lisa and I was talking together. She's so excited about working with the youth, and I was excited about having Sunday school together and having, you know, Sunday school again this way. And just like, you just want to hug everybody. You just want them to be included, and you want them to do what God wants them to do. And I pray that we can. But if God's touched your heart here tonight, don't be ashamed, but just come and pray. And pray for Emmanuel, and pray for our pastor, pray for our search committee, pray for the lost, pray for our eyes to be opened, pray for our hearts to be in tune with what God's doing. Pray that we'd be included in it. Thank you. Lord, just thank you for this time, and pray that as we have this invitation that you'd help us to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.